What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Sports Medicine Course Best Practices. This week, we are talking with Kimbra Mathis and Kat Marr. Kimbra Mathis is an athletic trainer in Bentonville, Arkansas, home of Walmart. And Kat Marr is an athletic trainer in Klein Collins, Klein ISD. Both of them run really top-notch sports medicine programs. We talked with Kat Marr recently about the National Honor Society for Sports Medicine so that you can get some recognition for your kids that are in sports medicine and your athletic training program, and it looks good on college applications and stuff like that. So check out that episode there at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/NHS. This one is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/sportsmedicinecourse. So sports medicine course at the end of our website. Without much further ado, Kimbra, we're going to start with you. You and I chatted just a little bit. What is your favorite project that you have done so far in sports medicine?
Well, okay. My favorite is easily in my assessments class, and I do this in almost, well, I guess maybe every other unit to keep it interesting, but it's a sculpture opportunity. It started out as Rice Krispies at one point, and we've since matured into Play-Doh. So that's easily my favorite right now.
All right. So tell a little bit more about the project.
We've gotten to where we color code them now. I've learned a lot over the last few years. Color code them, and we do it in layers. So the kids will create bones of whatever joint first. They take a picture. They upload it to whatever presenting media they like. And then they label it every little bone that they can find. And then they go back, take a new color of Play-Doh, and they'll go for ligaments. Same thing. Take another picture, upload it, layer those things or label them. And then the third round is all muscles. If we can get blood vessels, if we can get a nerve or two, some of the major players, then we will. But that'll go in that last layer. And I just really need to know that they recognize what's there. And so we'll do the major muscles. We probably don't get too deep or as deep as we probably should. But at this level, if they get major players, I'm in really good shape. But then they can present that to a class. So it creates a presentation opportunity as well as a kinesthetic learning opportunity. And most of them really enjoy it. Something that they really look forward to. It actually doesn't take very long. I do require that it's size appropriate. So if they do it in a shoebox, it needs to fit in the shoebox. That way we don't have big foot feet. And I try to keep the size, whatever the size they start with at the foot, is the same size of the human they need to create throughout the body. And eventually I'm going to try to figure out how to create skeletons. I haven't gotten that far yet, but baby steps, baby steps.
Okay, so you do that for multiple body parts, not just the foot or the ankle.
Well, we do the foot, and then the very next thing is the ankle, so we'll add directly to that model.
And then
so
do you continue up together with, like, the knee and...
Yeah. Now, I haven't done this with the knee or the hip. I haven't been brave enough to do that, but we've done elbow, hand, and wrist. Those foot and ankle, hand, and wrist work the absolute best, but it's the long bones and supporting those long bones that cause a problem. So I just haven't gotten up the nerve to do the foot or the hip yet. But maybe it's next year. I don't know.
Gotcha. All right. So I remember whenever I first started doing the Rice Krispies feet thing, you're where I got that idea from. And I think it's a really cool idea and a really great way to do some 3D models. I know Matt Babisak has done that, and he's also switched to Play-Doh, like you're talking about, or like some sort of clay. What do they call that? Molding clay, something like that.
Yes.
So
It's
a really cool idea.
We like that, but we find that, yes, clay's great. We find that it stains real easy. That was the only problem we had. And then we started mixing our Twizzlers or different kinds of candies because they made really, really good nerves or really good ligaments or whatever. I let the kids be as creative as they want to be. So,
all right. So Rice Krispies feet, or if you got Play-Doh, you can do Play-Doh. Play-Doh feet is a really cool project. So it allows kids to build them step by step. And then if you have questions, obviously all the contact information will be at the end. You can get with Kimbra and figure out how, but... I know she's posted pictures and stuff like that before. So, Kat Marr, what is your favorite project that you have done so far with your sports medicine course?
We have several. I like what's... We have sports medicine 1, 2, and 3, so there's different projects all throughout. Besides the making of the anatomy, of course, the kids really like making their own training room. And I opened that up, not just high school, collegiate, they go industrial as well, and some of them I think rival Google's recreational facility. They're very imaginative, and I really like that because that also ties into the budget projects and safety and kind of all the other things that we go through, all of our chapters. So that's a nice kind of a sum up. We do a lot of drawing on each other, palpation and drawing, identifying the bony landmarks, drawing it on them with the different highlighters. And I love the kids because I try to take it off with the alcohol and they just, it's a badge of honor. They're walking around with their whole leg all highlighted up. Even my non-student trainers, especially, or when we do the upper extremity, they'll just roll up their sleeves so they can, you know, here's a deltoid and the bicep and blah, blah, blah. And they're all highlighted and marked up. So we really like those type of activities that are hands-on, that they can show off in the hallway. They seem to have a lot of participation. Seeing if you're flat-footed, walking on the paper and drawing, things like that. They really enjoy that as well.
Okay, we're going to go back to, you said, building an athletic training room. I know Kimber has a similar project. So, Katmar, why don't you tell us a little bit about your project, how it works, and then, Kimber, I'm going to have you do the same. We're going to talk again about building an athletic training room. Go ahead, Kat.
Well, we have kind of two sections to the project. They tour through our athletic training room, what would you change and why, kind of a redesign. And then after we've discussed all of the technical aspects of a training room, how many athletes per feet, do you want a separate, you know, office for each athletic trainer, or do you want a student trainer lounge? Of course, we use YouTube, and we visually tour a lot of the athletic training rooms and facilities that are on YouTube. And, you know, they look at Oregon and, oh, my. And then they'll look at maybe my alma mater and like, oh, so big school versus small school, you know, the hydroculators that are in versus out, old versus new. So we talk all about that, especially in our safety and our budget. And our budget, they have to actually go through and order for a 6A high school. I give them my budget. I give them everything. And then they go through, what should I order? What shouldn't I? We talk about that. So once we've done the budget project, then we're going into, okay, you've ordered all of this. Where are you going to put it? What's it going to look like? And then I give them that option. Do you want to do a high school? Do you want to do a college? Do you want to do a recreational facility? Take out a couple of my athletic business magazines. And they can do as much or as little as they want. So computerized, PowerPoint, Excel, drafting. I've got a couple of students that are in the drafting club. So they do drafting, 3D models. I mean, it's amazing. So again, it's all about their creativity. Of course, I have a rubric. You have to have this, 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 and this. But how you present it, how you do it, that's entirely up to you. So it's not one is better than the other. But you can, you know, some are black and white. And that might have been done in a day, and some you can tell that they took the whole weekend in 4 days, and it's colored very well. And you know, it just depends. So, and they like it, and then of course they show it, present it to the class, and not that they have to defend it, but why did you put, you know, the rehab area here versus over here with the flow patterns? And then I throw things out because that's what I do. What about here? What about here? On game day, all the football players are coming, so you're right in the middle.
When you have your kids doing this, Kat, is it a individual project or a group project?
The budget project's actually a group project because there's so much entailed. And I teach them how to learn or how to use Excel. A lot of them don't know the different functions of Excel, how to add and basically make their own checkbook. Just because you have X number of money, you can't just keep spending it because we need this. So we talk about fiscal responsibility. That's more of a group project. And then when they do the actual training room, that's their own. So they branch out from that.
All right, Kimber, let's talk about your build an athletic training room project. Talk about kind of how you set it up, some of the things you require, include some of the ways you grade them, and go from there.
A lot different. I think they're all really pretty similar. I try to incorporate that entire unit. So it's just a facility project, and we start with our scope, and then we start with the planning process, and they're going to do the whole thing in a group of, say, three people. I let them pick who they want to be with. They have to create their policies and procedures. You know, what's that going to look like? They have to think about or put on the radar their EAP and what they're going to need to look for in it, like, later, but they have to put it on the radar. And then they each draw out of a hat. I have pre-made like 20 different settings. So it could be a high school, it could be a college. It's probably not a clinic, but it's high school or college. It's just easier for them to wrap their brain around. The number of students, the number of athletes, and an amount of money. And so they're given the opportunity to create their own mascot, which is, they have to be cautious sometimes. And they're also given the opportunity to name their high school if they so choose to. So they can come up with colors, and there's all kinds of room for creativity there if they like. So they have to create their school colors, their school mascot. They've got to do something. So there's got to be some creativity. And then they basically create their facility after we've gone through and talked about, here's what you should have. These are all the areas you're supposed to have. This is why we put things here. We've toured the facility at but it was a whole lot easier to show discrepancies in the old high school, where the training room is actually the old laundry room. So you can definitely see a difference in, you know, progress. So we do the same thing. We go through and pick out the things that are wrong, or what we like and what we don't like. And for example, in the new one, they apparently didn't hook up the air conditioning in the new indoor facility, so it stays hot in there. We talked about why this could be a problem. You know, so they get to do some problem solving, and so they'll go out and they do their own. Now, I tell them that they can be digital, or it can be paper, or it can be 3D model. I don't care if you bring in Legos. If that's what you want to do, knock yourself out. But I really like, they're going to do a presentation anyway. So sometimes digital is easier, and in this day and age, Google Documents and I mean, it's just easy to use. Floorplanner.com is another one that we'll let them use.
All right, Kimberly, can you hear us? We're kind of losing you there. So she said floor. She said floorplanner.com was another option you can use for building your training room. Kimberly, you're kind of cutting in and out there. Is floorplanner.com, is that free?
Yeah, it has been. Now, I mean, it was this year. I keep waiting, but there is a free version.
All right. They can use.
And they can screen out that and put it directly into a PowerPoint. So again, there's a presentation aspect to the part is, with the money they have to buy equipment. Now, I don't make guys, which is the part where they have types of equipment. We don't do supplies. We just do equipment. What kinds of things, if you had $5,000, would you have? Or if you had $50,000, what would you buy? And what's most entertaining to me is the kids with the largest budgets do the work first. Just learn to have some credibility every need, and then something fun at the end, which is just kind of impressive. But the only stipulation I have with the budget is, whatever you buy, I guess I have two reasons. Like, there has to be some sort of fundamental reason. What were you thinking when you did this? And if they can back that up and absolutely can't go over singular cent, or they will not have any back in the rubric. Okay. But at the same time, you can't have hundreds of dollars left either. So I give them a balance of like $20-$50 that's okay to be under, because I tell them you can't fit. So I never thought of it, but it's a pretty large project, and we take a good 2 weeks, probably 2.5 weeks to work on it. And we try to cover everything in that Unit 2 administrative unit to get everything in there, and they love it. They probably like that more than anything. They really do, and that surprises me. But the budget, I have seen kids fuss over that budget. It's so funny to watch them argue. So, but it's really, I mean, they're really pretty the same. I don't know that there's a whole lot of differences.
Yeah, one of the things that I have done here was I'll take the kids on a campus tour or a athletic training room tour. So we'll go and visit. We'll go in there and look at the athletic training room. We'll go to the upstairs athletic training room, which is really just a storeroom. And then the one across the street, that's right by the football field, where we really store the outdoor equipment. And then they have to write down things that they see. And so they make a list of items that are in one but not the other. And they do that three-circle Venn diagram thing so that it has the things that are in all three of them, things that are in just one, things that are in those two but not the third one. And then they just get to draw that out on a poster, and obviously it looks good for administrators when they're using Venn diagrams and colored paper and all this other stuff. So that's another option that I've done. It's not quite as in-depth as build your own athletic training room facility. So we have done a budget before. And again, I think it's eye-opening for the kids to see, oh, well, this is, you have to buy all this stuff, demand this, and then they look through the magazines, and this stuff is expensive. And so another thing, if you have students, like student athletic trainers, and they tend to be wasteful, like they just kind of waste tape or waste supplies, then the budget project is also good for them because it helps them understand the costs associated with buying all that stuff. So
I see that in my
student athletes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They start chastising, hey, man, put that up. You know how much that box of tape costs? It's awesome.
Yeah, especially when I say no to Band-Aids for their earrings and tape to cover up. Oh, yeah, the boys are like, I need a Band-Aid to cover up my – you can take those earrings out. Oh, no, I can't.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. And then they go, oh, and they try to get a friend to, and they're like, oh, no, that, you know, that box – we have to buy, $100 and that costed. And so they start understanding why sometimes I'm a Band-Aid Nazi or a tape Nazi and why we tape sometimes. And, I like it when my non-student trainers understand.
Absolutely.
But I also, it's not just in the training room. I find that some of them are just not fiscally responsible or they don't know how to keep a checkbook. And so if I can teach them the budget project, which is not, the greatest, especially for them. But I think it teaches a little bit more than, Miss Marr has to spend this money and this is what she's doing and this is how she's planning it out. I make it, this is yours. You know, your parents give you X allowance or you're working and you need this much for insurance and this much for this. And so try to teach them a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. All right.
At least that's what I try to do.
Matt Babisek couldn't join us because he's got class right now, but he did give me some notes. And he said one of the interesting lessons that they did is he broke them up into groups, and they took this rubric kind of thing and went around the facilities, and they had to take pictures and different things like that of broken and damaged equipment. So it was a facilities assessment, and I've got the rubric that he has here in the show notes. And so essentially what they had to do is in their groups, they would go around and say, okay, where are we? What's the problem? And who's going to fix it? How are they going to fix it? And so it may be like, okay, well, there's the padding's falling off the wall in the gym behind the goal. It's a problem because it could fall on somebody or somebody could run into it when the padding's not there. The school maintenance person should fix it by reattaching the padding to the wall. And so he said, then they had to do like a presentation about what they found and all that stuff. And some of the presentations really surprised him. So what projects have you done that have surprised you? Kimbra?
Surprised me good or surprised me bad?
Let's go with good now.
Actually, I do a training and conditioning unit, and it never ceases to amaze me that as much physiology as in that unit, that's the one they seem to really like. That's one that they'll invest time in, and they work hard on it. I don't have to stay on them. Oh, you guys got to get this done. And it doesn't take long to do, but they're given like a certain body part and they have to create different exercises using different techniques. And these are the things you have to use. And they'll critique each other. It's terrible. And I'm like, make sure you don't put somebody out there doing a plank that's never done one before, because we're going to critique that. And that's not very nice. But they really like that one, so I was pleasantly surprised by that. And then one that I struggle with every year is nutrition. Like I struggle with nutrition because I struggle with nutrition. I mean, I get it. I understand it. I don't like it. That's where I am with that. My kids, and they want to know too, but they don't want to know. Like they want to know what they want to know. They don't want to know what sports nutrition really looks like and how that might go against their supplements that they're taking and how. Yeah, so it's kind of a fight sometimes. They do pretty good, but they're not nearly as interested as I'd like them to be. And I've even volunteered to help. Like, I'll do this too. Like, I will spend a week recording everything I eat, and I will do it too, okay? They don't care. They don't care. And when I say we're going to go back and look, they don't care. If anything, the thing that impresses them the most is the amount of calories that they take in. Now, that it's not fats or carbs or anything else. It's just calories. Do you know I ate 5,000 calories on Monday? Wow, that's impressive. Great. Okay. So we have some interesting discussions, and of course it's fun, but it's just never as good as I want it to be. Like, I don't know if it's as impactful. We have a great time, but I don't know if it was impactful. So.
All right. So your physiology exercise is something to where they surprisingly work hard, even though they have to do some workouts in class and stuff like that.
Yeah. The training conditioning, it's like a rehab strengthening unit and it's basically the patient that is midway through rehab. So they're not quite returned to play, but they're out of post-surgical or, you know, we're not in acute necessarily. We're 2-3 weeks out. And yeah, it's not a specific injury. It's just basically, do you understand the concept of strengthening enough to know when to start and where you would be 2 weeks from that point? So they love it. They love that.
Gotcha. Katmar, something that a project that has surprised you.
I'm surprised all the time.
I am with that too.
I know. After 25 years, they still surprise me. But I'm with you, Kimber, on the nutrition. If we're a little bit farther behind first semester, that's one of the chapters I may skip.
Yeah, or push off till the end.
Yeah. I agree, because no matter how many activities I try to think up or to do, it doesn't matter. So, and I guess if nutrition mattered that much, I wouldn't look like this either. So that might be it.
But easy.
Yeah,
see?
I mean, they understand that.
Yeah.
They do. But I do.
I try to find videos with shock value. That's the only way you get them, is videos with shock value. And then you get them, but that's hard to find.
But you're right. And that's tool appropriate too. Especially
exactly.
With
there's that.
Yeah, the creatine, the muscle, and some of them are just not school appropriate.
Right. Details.
Yeah, if they search. Yeah. So, yeah. But I, surprisingly enough, when we do our sports medicine 3 and they have to take an injury from start to finish and progress them through, I do give them, you know, i.e., Dr. Mosley's ACL protocol. Yeah. Okay, this is the protocol. What are you going to do with this? Because they don't list out every single thing. And of course, right. It depends. And okay, well, now we have a football player versus maybe a volleyball or a baseball or track or even tennis. You know, I tell them to pick, and then they have maybe kind of a one contact versus another. They still do that as a group, but they can use all of the multimedia. So they're searching and videos, and we do actually critique good videos versus bad videos, because there's a plethora of information out there. And not all of it is what I would consider safe for some of the athletes. A personal trainer may go above and beyond versus an injury. So we just have to be careful what we're giving the athlete. And that gives them, you know, when I say, oh, can you go show them, you know, Rockwood or something, they understand what I want them to do. And right. So that gives them a little bit more ownership in the training room too.
Oh, I let them do my rehab, and they would plan it out Monday, Wednesday, Friday within reason. And there were some days when they get a little ahead of themselves. Oh, am I freezing up? How do I fix that?
Well, it's got
what
to
do
with
do? Am I frozen?
Connectivity. One thing you made.
Am I still frozen?
No, I hear you now.
Oh, good. Okay. So anyway, I let them figure out my rehab protocol for the week, and we plan ahead and we talk about what's wrong. And there were once or twice where they got a little ahead of themselves, and they had pushed me a little bit too hard. I let them do it because I kind of wanted to see what happens when somebody's not ready for something and you push them through it, and then what you get when you come back. So, of course, I came back swollen, and I'm like, this is – and I let them do the history every time I came in, and they had to do a soap note, and I'll probably never be able to do this again. But they did a soap note, and they would have to ask me, how are you feeling today, and, you know, what's your scale rate? You know, 1 to 10, and – wow, you look really swollen today. Yeah, I don't understand what happened. I am, you know, I was real careful. I like the worst patient I could have ever given you. You know that one that you don't want to see? I was that one. And I made them see how hard it is to question people and how sometimes you don't get the answers you need. You know, and then we would, I'd have to say game on, game off, so they'd know when my patient voice ended and my teacher voice was coming in. But that was the most fun we'd had, and it was so realistic. I bet those kids, I will love to see what they do in 10 years, because they got the best experience possible. Honestly, it was cool. I'll never be able to come up with that again.
Just
I'm not going to have surgery just because, but it was fun. So if you have a surgery you can use, I mean, that's good fun too.
Or even just an injury. They love when Doc's giving me some shots in the neck. Anything that maybe makes
real
me
life.
Suffer. Yes, makes me suffer a little bit.
That's right. Does this hurt? Yes, it hurts.
All right, so we were talking about yes, nutrition. One of the things that I have done actually is with the podcast, we had Brett Singer, a registered dietitian from Memorial Hermann, come in. And then he also brought a registered dietitian that worked with HEB. And they brought some foods and we discussed it here on the podcast. So that was one thing I did was having a guest speaker. But something else that I've done with mixed success, it was what we called Superfood Friday. So over the course of 6 weeks or something like that, we would have, we would plan a meal throughout the week. And then everybody would bring it. So if it was we're planning breakfast, then they would plan, okay, well, what are healthy foods? What are unhealthy foods? What are some of the things that I'm already eating? What are some of the ways that I can make that just a little bit healthier? So if they were already eating nothing, well, then that was easy. They could add in just a granola bar or a glass of milk or something. But if they're eating cereal, well, maybe we would switch to oatmeal, or, you know, maybe we put that in yogurt instead of just milk, or we put some fresh fruit and yogurt in there instead of just the Cheerios or something like that. And so actually having them...
Is that like a potluck?
Yeah. It was more of a group project.
Was that like a potluck with the kids?
It was more of a group type project. And so like this one group would bring this one meal. So if, like I said, one time we did salsa. And we borrowed blenders, and so they just brought the stuff that we needed for salsa, and they mixed it up, or they brought salsa here, and then they just had to list out all the ingredients. So, like, you can add in carrots to salsa, which adds in a health factor, but nobody really tastes or notices they're there, even if you don't like carrots, or there's a couple other things that they add in. And then, so, similar to a potluck, but more of a, like, planned meal-type potluck, so... And I have a slideshow. Again, it makes sense to me, so if it doesn't make sense to you, you can contact me. But I have a slideshow in my whole folder that I have in the show notes. It says Jeremy's whole folder of sports medicine, and that one's called Superfood Friday. And so if, you know, you just take something like that or contact a registered dietitian, have them come talk to you or Skype into your class, kids can ask questions, and then from there you can plan a meal. So maybe that would help you guys with nutrition, but...
I know Robert Anding is always available to help us. She's wonderful dietitian. But bringing the food in, that would get my kids.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, because we do that like March 25th, Greek Independence Day, or around then. We celebrate the beginning of sports medicine via Greece. And so we bring in some,
nice.
Bring in some stuff. And so yes, anything that would involve feeding them or bring
the sports medicine Cinco de Mayo. I love it.
Yeah, that's really. I mean, it's like so
awesome.
So I could get my kids totally on board with that. I can see it. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Especially Friday being game day, Superfood Friday. That would be. That's a great idea, Jeremy.
I might
rip that off. That's a great idea.
What day is this? This is March. What?
Oh, well, and it's also National Athletic Trainer Month.
Well,
just
that.
Saying. Yeah, right. You can pick any day, but I do it in October too. There's an Oshi Day, which is October 28th. It's a no day where we stood up to the Ottoman Empire and Mussolini. But March 25th. Is Greek Independence Day, but it's also Annunciation. So, you know, I try not to do too much on March 25th, except, of course, softball and baseball and soccer. But it always ends up. So I try to have some fun, not only bring my culture, but food and get the kids kind of involved. So it's kind of a productive co-curricular day. And we talk about the beginning of sports medicine, and the Olympics came from Greece. So that kind of plays into it a little bit.
So those are two really good points there, because Kimber talked about surgery that she had, and you're talking about your culture and bringing those in to make it personal. And, you know, sometimes kids just don't care. But there are those kids that are like, oh, yeah, man, I remember that lesson where we talked about that. Or, you know, I could really tell you were interested and passionate about it. And so that's another great thing is if you have something going on and you're willing and open to share, then go ahead and share it with the kids or find a way to bring, you know, maybe you are Hispanic and so you grew up eating salsa or you learned that eating tortillas at every meal wasn't good or, you know, whatever it is. If it's people who eat a lot of fried food, maybe you just learned that, hey, I can eat fried food once a week or whatever it is. So just bring some of your own personal things into that. So that's another really good tip for sports medicine course. So
absolutely. And the kids' ownership too. So we do, you know, we do things for Cinco de Mayo and things of that nature too, because we have Hispanic kids. And so if they're wanting to do whatever it is, they let me know. And I'm like, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
We'll work it in. I never say no to food.
No, especially if I can make a good reason for it.
It's always educational.
It's in the curriculum. I mean, I can't say no to that. Come on, people.
Co-curricular. Co-curricular is important.
Right. And see, I teach Spanish, so I can totally pull this off. I got this.
Got it. I'm telling you, it's and that helps the kids because it's like, well, we might be doing, you know, this type of work, but there's a fun light at the end of the tunnel. Basically, your dessert. You got to eat your broccoli before we can have banana cream pie.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's look at some of the ways that you manage. So we talked about some projects, and we may come back and do some more. Let's talk about some of the ways that you manage the classroom that helps set up for success. So one of the things that I've done was the Kagan Cooperative Learning. It was a training I went to when I was teaching biology. Now that I'm teaching sports medicine, I use some of that same stuff. So if you look in the show notes or if you just YouTube quiz trade, so quiz trade, what essentially we do is you take flashcards and the kids are standing up, moving around, so they're already learning more. They're more involved because they're standing up. And they have to put their hand high in the air, give somebody a high five, and depending on your rules. So it's called stand up, hand up, pair up, and then you quiz each other. So if I have a card and it on the front of it, it says abduction. And then on the back of it, it would say moving a body part away from the midline of the body. So on the front is the word, on the back is a definition, however you want to work that. And so I have included examples in the show notes there, but it's a really good way for the kids to get up and moving and they're more involved. And they also see the same words multiple times and some, you know, with different people, maybe they understand it or experience it better or can explain it better. And so again, quiz trade is a great opportunity to manage classroom well. Again, you have to set it up. Usually you do these things with something fun first. So maybe it's questions about, tell me about your favorite meal or how many pets do you have or anything like that. And then after you've done that once or twice for them to kind of an easy way for them to get into it, then you go into the content. And so I use those throughout the year. So Kat, you got something?
I do. You said that and I'm not online. Maybe that's showing my age as much, but I'm more tactile. When you said the card, I have the same thing. And the yellow is anatomy. This is my bucket of knowledge. And we use this not just in class, but also, I shouldn't tell Shattuck this, quiz bowl. I know, quiz bowl, all the answers and some of the study guides. You know, we go through. But this is the MAR bucket of knowledge. So mostly through Sports Medicine One, all of the terms, anatomy, the right, what are the, I'm not even going to show too much, Kimber, because of the quiz bowl. One of these days we're going to win.
Right. right.
But, you know, the things that are coming from the class, you know, it's below the rib area to the right. It has the liver and the gallbladder. What am I? And then, of course, the answers on the other side. So they can do quizzing each other. And then when I come with it, I quiz the whole class. So they pick a card or for quiz bowl, I just kind of start picking and we quiz. So very similar to what Jeremy's saying. I just have, I just actually have the cards, and it just grows every year when I hear maybe new questions from Quiz Ball or hear about something. I write it down and I put it in the bucket of knowledge. So very similar, but I like this quiz trade. I might look at it because that's almost like a Quizlet. The kids do the Quizlet.
Yep.
Well, no, it's printed off. Like I print off the cards, cut them out, laminate them, and then.
So you do just like that.
Yeah, it's pretty similar.
And this was an old Decaney High School that had the candy in it.
Gotcha.
And I went, this is perfect a couple of years ago, 10.
All right.
So I snaggled it and we did that. I love that idea. See, we all have the same idea. It's just different formats.
Yep. So, Kimbra, what are some of the things or what's something that you've done to help with classroom management or making sure everybody's involved?
That's funny. So we do some Kagan stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but the truth is mine's very seldom very organized. Like they come in and we kind of have our procedures set about things, but if I can do something spur of the moment, I'm totally going to do it spur of the moment because they never know what to expect. And I find that if they don't know what to expect, it keeps them on their toes. And so they move around a lot. They don't, like I have assigned seats, but that changes every couple of weeks or when I get bored. And they have to pair up like everything that we work on, they're working on collaboratively. I very seldom have somebody doing something alone because I don't think that's a good use of time necessarily. So most of the stuff we do, I actually utilize a lot of discussions. Like if I can find a provocative topic in something that we're doing and I can get them to talk and it be a group discussion and then figure out that the groups are actually divided somehow, then I'll divide them and let them hash it out and then bring it back to where, how, you know, this is exactly why we're where we are, or, you know, this is why research is really important, or just kind of somehow tie that into what we're studying. And it means more to them because it was personal. So I guess I'm kind of lame in the fact that I don't have any major organized things, but we use as many, like I've used, what is the name of that? Oh goodness, Kahoot. I love
yes.
Kahoot.
Oh yes.
That's my favorite Friday. And if kids create their own Kahoot, we'll use it. We've done our legal and ethical. I'll have them bring in their own clips to tell me about, like when we're talking terminology for ethics or legal terms or whatever, if they can find movie clips or TV clips or whatever. YouTube, and they send them to me, and then I can say, hey, tell me why do you think this is what it is? And they love it because they like to outdo each other. And so I'll upload them all to, you know, we have a movie day Friday, which is really more 30-second clips, you know. And our Friday classes are typically only 45 minutes long. Like my weekly classes are 90 minutes. We're on a block schedule. And then I see all of them on Friday. So since it's an abbreviated time, it's so much easier to do something fun or game-like. I struggle with the word game because I tend to be a bit competitive and I don't like cheaters, which is not a good combination for a high school one. So I'm not necessarily into the games, except when I can put it on a screen and it's controlled by the internet, not myself, then they can kill somebody else and not have to come after me. I don't have to be moderated. But anyway, Kahoot and Quizlet, I utilize that a lot. And I will tell them the best Quizlet or the person who finishes it first I'll use their Quizlet as the quiz for the next Friday. So it's incentive to get it done and get it done well because there's a good chance I'll use it. It's thorough. So I don't know. We just do whatever I feel like doing when I walk through the door. You know, sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not so good. But I think I've been doing this long enough that when I get to a chapter, I just know. And so I don't think to plan ahead because I just already know what I'm going to do with it. And that could be it. There's some downsides to that. I mean, you know, you just don't think about it. Sometimes I wish I hadn't done this before. So I'd be, you know, struggling to get everything I could get my hands on, but I'm to a point where I'm like, I feel pretty good about this. I like new stuff, but I don't need it like I used to need it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I love
absolutely.
The new stuff, but sometimes it's just comfortable.
All right. One of the other projects that I do is I'll get a piece of butcher paper that's probably 6-7 foot long, and then I'll put the kids into groups of, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, and then I'll have one of them lay down, and they'll have to outline that person, and then they have to draw the bones inside of there and then label the bones, and then we can also add in anatomical terms and directions with arrows on that, you know, huge 6-foot skeleton, or, you know, I guess in Pasadena, the 5-foot skeleton. And then we also can add, we could cut out and add in mussels with construction paper, kind of like Kimbra was discussing with their Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. So if you can't do Play-Doh, then maybe you can get butcher paper and do the same type of projects, because I've done that before and it looked really cool, where you had the different colors for different mussels or different parts, and they're overlapping, and it's not quite 3D, but it's not just flat paper. It's not just coloring or drawing, but they're, you know, overlapping muscles and that kind of thing. So it's another good way to get the kids working on anatomy and thinking other than just memorizing bones.
Exactly. Whatever gets them learning and retaining, just like you said, not memorizing. So I have a lot of, little isms. Some of them I learned in school way back when, that are still relevant today, sort of. But, you know, maybe I guess Marisms, you know, the Tom, Dick, and Harry. But, of course, I would go Harry Big Toe. So that's how they can figure out Halicus. And so a lot of them may forget Halicus, but they understand, well, that's the Tom, Dick, and Harry Big Toe. So I hurt my Harry Big Toe. So, you know, little stuff like that that they're learning. And it's sinking in, but I think I'm like Kimber, maybe because I have been doing this for so long. And even before we had the actual courses, my first year, I was teaching sports medicine to the students, anatomy, what to do, why do we do this? And every Friday, though, we tape. It's a taping lab every Friday. Yeah. So they get to tape something. They get to, whether we're working on a specific joint at that time, or what do you need more practice on, or Mar, I just saw you do the Achilles, can I practice on that, using the different tapes, because, you know, Elasticon can be a little costly. What can we use in addition to that? Shoulder spikers, hip spikers, we do that type of stuff on Friday, not just because it's normally game day, and that's when kids come in, when they have injuries on game day. So it gets me where I can actually do athletic training, because most of my classes, especially 2 and 3, are actually in the training room during athletics. So a lot of it is lab. What do we see a basketball player coming in? You know, what injury is it? And we kind of help. Now we're focusing on patellotendinitis right now, because we have how many track kids coming in? What can we do for that? What are the different treatments? It's not just, you know, A, B, and C. We have some other things going on. Right. So we do have a curriculum, but we also take it as it is. And I'm not as concerned with, are we on track?
So my kids aren't with us. Like, I have 150 students, and we, because we're so new, we have one girl that really works with us outside of class. So my classes are set up. You know, we do follow what we follow, but I'm in charge, so I do what I want to do to some extent. And my level twos, they're both 2 years long, but my level twos is such a small class. Like, I may have 10 to 15 in there. So I really focus on relationships. Like, I want to get to know them very well. I want them to know me, because I want to be a networking opportunity for them. And we focus on networking and what that looks like. It's basically an anatomy and injury assessment class, but I also toss in whatever's current, like the current events of the time. Like, in my world right now, Arkansas's legislation is eating us alive, and they are as thick in it as I am. And so every time we have something come up, I sit down and I explain it. I explain who the major players are. I tell them where the money comes from, tell them who our senators. I give them the whole, so it's like a moving chess, and they figured out really quickly how this is going to work. And so what I really want from them is, I want them to learn the ankle, and I want them to learn the knee and elbow, but I also want them to know what life looks like on the outside, that sometimes it's not all injuries, that sometimes you have to do more than just your own job. So I probably focus a little more on other things than things that are specifically listed in curriculum. And I've had really good success with that. Like, the kids love that. And I don't care if they become athletic trainers or phlebotomists. I love it if they went into something orthopedic, but, you know, and they tend to come back, and they come back and get advice for what's going to happen next. You're like, I had a girl, she's in an athletic training program now. And she goes, I think I want to be an orthopedic surgeon. Awesome. I've inspired the world. We're good. My job here is done.
There you go.
Yeah, I focus on the curriculum, but only to a point with that level two. Level ones, they don't know their head from a hole in the ground. So we're going to go through curriculum until we die. But the other group, they've come back for more. So by golly, I'm going to give them what they signed up for.
I totally agree. They And I tell my freshmen, even some of the first year sophomores, you're going to learn in sports medicine one. I mean, it's going to be, I have all the PowerPoints. I have this. You can go on, you back for it. You've got your notebooks. You're learning. That's the foundation. This is the foundation of our pyramid. And then 2, 3, senior 4, hopefully. Yep. It's as it comes. I'm right with you.
Yeah, and it weeds them out quick, and I'm okay with it. Because, and I tell them right up front, if you can't handle this, don't. Just don't go past this. It's okay. It's all right. This wasn't meant for you.
Another thing that I do, like we're talking about the quiz trade, is I'll also have the students stand and I'll say, okay, stand facing a partner. And so everybody's lined up in two lines. And I say, okay, well, this line is the first thing I say. This line is the second thing. And so I say, okay, well, raise your hand if you're the first thing, and then raise your hand if you're the second thing. And then I might say frontal, or I'll have all the flashcards. And I say, okay, well, you pull a flashcard. And if theirs says frontal bone and the other one says patella, then they have to use their frontal bone to touch the other person's patella. And so so the anatomy, it's kind of like, I've never had kids draw on each other, but that's a good idea. But
that's
using those flashcards, I don't really pick. They pick what the card, and then the card says, okay, use this bone to touch this bone. And then, or I've even done stuff where I'm like, all right, we've been going over the bones. You guys should know it. I'm going to ask a question. If you guys get it wrong, you're all going to do one push-up. If you guys get it right, then I'm going to do maybe 5 push-ups. And again, that works for me. And, they know that the consequence for them getting it right is much greater for me than them getting it wrong. So they're on board. And then I say, okay, if you can't do a push-up, you can do a squat or a burpee or whatever, some other little exercise. And so for me, that works. It may not work in every situation, but it gives them a little bit of motivation. I say, all right, you got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What is it? No. Okay. You guys are doing a push-up. And so, touching bone to bone, or, putting, I don't know if consequence is the right word, but, a physical consequence where they have to do the push-ups is another way to help keep them sharp. So
anything? That worked for my athletes, but probably not for my student trainers.
Yeah, bless them. Bless them.
And I don't think I could. Jeremy, I'm not doing 5 push-ups.
That's what I say. Whatever works for you.
Come back to me in 20 years. This old broad, I should, absolutely. I think that would be very helpful for me. But the sloth in me,
if my arms were long enough to make it look like I was actually moving off the ground, a push up might be great. But my arms aren't that long, and I get made fun of enough as it is without adding to that. So,
T-Rex. I just have a visual of T-Rex.
Right? Thank you. Okay.
Those are great activities. Just all over when you're talking about, Jeremy, the classroom management, I think it's important to set some expectations, not just in your student trainer handbook, but in your class. As soon as the bell rings, this is where you're at. You're here instead of in the locker room or what have you. I think that some of those basic foundational rules for your classroom helps with the classroom management, especially in our situation where I have class. I have sports medicine too, fourth period during varsity girls basketball, but I also have a couple of kids that are in the athletic training PE class, so an elective versus a PE, all kind of together. So who's doing what? I take attendance at the very beginning so I can get that done and not get a reminder email that I've missed that, which happens all the time. And then I kind of dole out so they know to come into my office. Mars, spends a minute or 2 minutes telling us what we're going to do. And then we go through whether I'm out there, I don't want to say babysitting, but leading it, or they're doing what they need to do. So I do think classroom management has to do with that consistency. So if there is something, like I'm here at a podcast or I'm out doing something, they know, well, we're still here until she comes, or these are the things that we normally have to do, set up a water boy, do this, do that. Mm-hmm. And so there is some routine, even though the training room is always chaotic. There's always something new, something else going on. So as far as classroom management, I think that for me, I'm very consistent. And when they do come back, 10 years ago, I had one right before the podcast that came back. I haven't changed a bit, and I'm the same. And I definitely have coaches that were my students, and she's just as mean, and she says the same things when I was in school. So consistency, I think, is the big deal.
I think that, and I also think, so for me, I started out reading Harry Wong. I remember that guy. I don't know if you've ever read that class. I read it. I walked into a classroom and decided that guy's crazy. So what I figured out for me, it didn't work. But what did work was I threw away my rules and I sat down with him one day, and I'd probably been teaching 10 years by the time I figured this out. So, wow, I'm a quick learner. But I walked in and I sat down. I said, you know what? We're not doing this rules business. No more rules. None. I have one. That's it. Just one. And they are looking at me like and I've never, to be truthful, never had a problem with discipline, because the kids know if I say it, that's how it's going to be. And they're not brave enough to try it. And I don't know what it is about 5'3", but they're scared of me. I think that's hysterical, by the way.
Yes.
Just don't call my anyway. But I told them, I said, I tell you what, you treat me and everybody else in here the way you want to be treated, and that will trump any rule that I put on the wall or anything. That is going to take care of us for the rest of the year. So we're going to do that. That is it. And they're kind of looking at me for a minute. And I said, for example, I'm talking and you're on a cell phone and I'm trying to get your, but you don't notice. So if we go out to dinner and you're talking to me, but I'm on my cell phone, are you enjoying that? No, that's offensive to you, isn't it? It's equally as offensive to me if you're doing so. They started to see things a little differently. And at that point, we started focusing on them. And I think that I've learned, if nothing else, relationships are, and I've always had good relationships with kids, but sometimes I don't know that I worked hard enough. So I've started really, really going after some of the hard kids. And they tend to be my favorites anyway. I don't know why that is, but I tend to do well with them. And that has been my number one best classroom management technique, bar none, because they know that we have trust and we have respect mutually. And they don't try that. And if anything, if they have a problem, they're going to come to me and they know I'm going to advocate for them, whatever it is. If they're in the wrong, they're in the wrong. But if not, I mean, they know that. So I don't run into the discipline problems. I don't run into chaos necessarily, like classroom wise, and it's very different. This classroom doesn't look like math or science, or it's just different. And I think it helps that I tell them, I look at my kids differently because I look at them as future professionals. I could easily be hiring you. In fact, I may be going to you because I need a job in the future. And that just blows my mind. Like, look, I just had a former student elected as a representative for the state of Arkansas who's sitting on a committee that I really need right now. And now he's my network. So that's how this is going to go down. So we tend to look at it differently. Like, I'm not just their teacher. I'm somebody that they might stand next to one day. And so I think that makes a difference. I really, really do. So Harry Wong, more power to you, but no thanks.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
Real world.
Yeah. But I also think that you could ask the kids, hey, we're doing the knee. What do you want to know? How do you want to go about the knee?
Right.
You know, and see what they already know, especially from broadcast. And what do they want to do? All right. What would be a fun activity that's going to get you hands-on involved and, you know, buy into this lesson on the knee and see what they have to say. And then take, you know, one year may be different than the other. But again, not too hung up on these are the boxes that we need to check. We're right. Going to check them. They're going to, it's going to get done, but mm-hmm. not really obsessing over every little detail. I think that stresses not only the teacher out, but also the student. But all of my stuff, I don't even put on Blackboard. My administrators know that everything is on my teacher webpage. And if I update it, I try to update the teacher webpage. And so I have friends that I've met, that are in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and one in Maine that use my PowerPoints. And so I just say, download my PowerPoints and change it however you want. And they've been doing that for years. So I don't care who uses my rubrics, who uses, you know, anything. If you need anything from me, you just email me and I'll send it to you. Or I'll put it on a Google Drive and share it that I've learned. Jeremy taught me Google Drive, so I can do that. I love that now.
Hey, you know what? We need to consider doing a Google Drive for sports medicine teachers and invite just our friends, like who anybody that's teaching can get to the drive.
Absolutely. I mean, that's easy. And you just, you know, upload sports medicine 1, 2, and 3, yeah. And then maybe anatomy. And then, cause I've split my semester, first semester with football and everything going on yeah. is more of the lessons. And then right. second semester right now is anatomy. So they're getting into the anatomy and what I consider right. the fun part after they do their GHATS project and presentation, mm-hmm. That's their final exam for first semester. Now we're getting into, we've learned everything and now we're putting our hands and getting into the anatomy of it for sports medicine 1. That's kind of how I have done it. Only because I, with everything going on, I can't handle right. it. So I know that, but sure. yes, absolutely. And I'll put whatever I want on there. And you guys, I've never been, territorial about my, my stuff.
It's all the same. It's just a matter of gathering. Yeah. Who cares?
Exactly. And what I do is different. And there's so many resources out there. You know, and that's the reason why I've started the club and have that over here and tried to increase because I want to give the students as much opportunity,
right.
which does equal more work a little bit, but it's truly less work in the long run if you have students that know what they're doing a little bit, right. that can help you and are getting something out of it instead of the occasional water, I need water. They get the thank you and they get a patch or something.
Right.
So I think that they work a little bit harder for you.
Kat, you said if somebody wants to get information from you, they can email you or they can check your website. What
check the website.
Email?
The cmarr2@kleinisd.net is my school email.
cmarr2@kleinisd.net.
Yes. Or Kat_Marr, and Kat is with a C, the real Kat, C-A-T, _Marr, M-A-R-R, @yahoo.com. But you can also, like, go to KleinISD.net, Klein Collins, and click on either sports medicine or my name, and my website comes up. And under the top where it says, like, homework and lessons, that's everything, kind of just one after the other. And of course, if you click on sports medicine 1, 2, and 3, it's the curriculum and the syllabus and mm-hmm. all of the school stuff. And then I have the GHATS project. Everything that I have is free for anybody, whether it's for sports medicine 1, 2, 3, the skills for my student athletic trainers, and of course the National Honor Society and the club. So everything I have, I am more than willing to share. And, if you take it and you make it better, you just have to give it back to me better.
Deal.
All right.
I'm going to make a Google folder and I'll just invite okay. you. We'll just send out as many invites as we can to people that are teaching it. So maybe that's something we would have a kind of a clearinghouse for places, like just all kinds of stuff. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I actually have a link to mine in the show notes here and it's just everything. And one of the folders I have in it is stuff from Kimbra. It's actually, that's what it's called. So it's stuff
that's
that you had
awesome.
Sent me before.
That's terrible.
So I think if you create that and then we create it by topic, because then everybody would know, you know, yeah. skeleton yeah. or foot or ankle or concussions, then it should be easy enough no matter when they cover it in their curriculum by going to that topic. Yeah. So.
Okay. Excellent.
So Kimbra, someone wants to get a hold of you, email you, contact you, what's the best way?
I would use my Bentonville K-12 address. It's kmathis@bentonvillek12.org. That's the easiest way because I see that at, like all day.
Okay.
All the time. More than I probably need to.
So if you want to be added to Kimbra's Google folder, then hit her up on the email there. So if you want to contact okay. Kat Marr, you got cmarr2@kleinisd.net. If you want to contact Kimbra Mathis, it's K-M-A-T-H-I-S, Mathis, at bentonvillek12.org. All right. And then, like I said, I have a whole folder. I have a link to it there. You can, again, like Kat said, steal or throw away whatever you don't want. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It all makes sense to me. If it doesn't make sense to you, I can try and help clarify. So, all right. Kimbra, I'm going to ask you, do you have any parting tips or things that you're going to try for sports medicine?
Well, we're going to start at the beginning and start with Superfood Friday. That's happening. Like, it might happen every Friday till the end of school, for all I know. I don't know. We can answer. So we're going to do that. I really like the people, like the drawing people. I think I have to do this with my older kids because my younger ones, bless them. Yeah, that's just not going to go out. But we'll try with the older kids. I think that's a good idea. I like that. So that's what I'm going to do. And as far as parting words, you got to know your kids because not every project, I don't care how perfectly well it's written, is not for every kid for a lot of different reasons. So that said, go forth and prosper.
Great. Katmar, same question.
I mirror the master. I do. Superfood Friday. That's actually something that after this Russapalooza Friday we have, we're definitely going to look into that next Friday. I'm going to get the I don't need to get the kids on board. I'm going to definitely do that. And activity wise, I'm just keep swimming. Don't worry about it. It'll work out. And if you have one really bad day, tomorrow is a new day. And the best activities may be the ones that are epic failures. So they might be the most memorable. So just have fun. True. Yeah, have fun. And for me, I'm always honest. So I'm just like, well, that just totally sucked. And I'm sorry. Let's move on. And they're okay. Again, know your kids and just relax. It'll work out.
Yeah, just life, man.
Exactly. It's fine. I might have something well planned and then an athlete will come in with and totally disrupt. And
yeah.
Toast. It is what it is. So, yeah.
All right. This
my life.
This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/sportsmedicinecourse. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/sportsmedicinecourse, where I'll have links to Kat's contact, Kimbra's contact, my resources, the quiz trade stuff I talked about, some of the other rubrics that Matt shared or that Kat or Kimbra is sharing for their different projects. So again, I'll have links to all that stuff in there and the sports medicine curriculum Google Drive folder that Kimbra is creating. So this is Jeremy Jackson for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Kimbra Mathis in Bentonville, Arkansas, and Katmar at Klein Collins High School for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. That is a wrap.